been here for an hour now.
We just want to get this. Why didn't you communicate? Can you tell us, please?
Mr. Chair, this morning I communicated, in fact, yesterday. I was phoned by Honorable Chikunka on Monday before our meeting. And I explained to her that we would have a meeting on Wednesday. Yeah. And I explained to my colleague, the committee secretary, Mr. Jeremy Michael, even this morning. Yeah, so that confusion was clear. Yeah. I want you to put this very clear point. If you have discussed with the chair of the police, it's fine. But you must know that information was just by the way. The person who's supposed to know that the meeting is taking place where is Jeremy. What do you want to say, Chair?
No, we've never discussed the venue and time of the meeting. We discussed the meeting. In fact, I wanted to know as to what was happening in the meeting. I phoned. I wanted to be sure that we're going to have the department and so on presenting today. And that was the conversation, not on the venue, not on the time. So the issue of time and venue was never discussed with the secretary. But the issue is that even on today's order paper, the venue is still M201, time 09. And that is what we depend on. I can tell you members of the portfolio committee were there, the DA members were there. And I don't know where they are now. And can I really blame them for not being here on time? Because we communicated yesterday, I begged members to say, let us attend because we don't have a meeting and we think this is important. And nothing is changed on the other people.
Mr. Chair, can I explain the confusion? On Monday, I was also alerted about this confusion because I had changed. The people who do the order paper in the management, I gave them the entire program to change the times. Remember you said the meeting should start at 10. I said they must change the time as well as the venue. And yesterday's one was correct. And it was an oversight on my part. I didn't see that they still have. But I was made to believe that it will change. And I'll correct this as soon as this meeting is over. I apologize. It must not be like that.
The efficiency of your section around what should have, people are depending mainly on the order paper. Because as soon as he doesn't know where the meeting is, he goes to the order paper and he finds the wrong time. I don't think the inefficiency of people who are not correcting those things have to abandon other people. I don't think it's fair. It's not fair. Yes, sir.
Jefferson, I definitely got a message from Pori to say that it was at 10. So there was no confusion with us. We were told the venue and time. Thank you.
No, for members of the sport, there will be no confusion. But my third part is on the members of the police. And I want Cindy, colleagues, and all the people that's coming from the police, I want to apologize. And then I don't think that kind of a message was conveyed. But my sincere apology for the greatest confusion and the inconvenience it has caused to you. Cindy, can I go stand up? Yes.
Pick up. Good to you, Esther. Yes. Like, I didn't know. All right, thank you. No. I have this one.
Yes, it's color coded from the different sessions, and there's a spreadsheet that links to it next year.
Okay,
good. Yes.
Nice
of you. No
problem.
Before we close the door, we're starting the meeting. Thank you very much, honorable members and the department and the state law advisor, chairperson of the police. I want to apologize for the great confusion that was there, which has been created by the notice on the order paper. It has caused a lot of inconvenience. You left your offices at 9 o'clock, and then up until now, you're still running up and down. I want to apologize. Corey says he has sent the message and the note to people that are printing the order paper, but they have still printed it like it was original. But again, Pori is not coming out scot-free out of this, because Pori was supposed to communicate with the secretary of the police, so that the secretary must be able to communicate with the chair and other people about the details of the meeting, not about any other thing. So I really want to apologize on that, because it's not a reflection on Pori, it's a reflection on our committee. I want to sincerely apologize for that. It has caused a lot of confusion. Other people might be running to the 102 instead of they must come to the right meeting. Thank you very much. Chair, is there anything that you want to say?
Probably it's proper for me to apologize to members of the Portfolio Committee on Policy. I also went to M201 at 9. And also did not know where the venue was. So if we had known, we would have informed members yesterday, because we discussed this meeting yesterday in our meeting late in the afternoon. I didn't know myself, but let me really apologize to members. I know members were there on time and that they're still here. It just shows that they want to be in the meeting. Thank you.
This meeting we're going to chair with the police. But at this meeting, we have requested to the chair that we must have this meeting, because there was a submission given to us by the police
and the committee has taken a decision that everything that is in the bill, where it has a potential or an intention of the Minister of Sport giving directive to the National Commissioner, everything that has that perception has to be removed there or changed properly, and then we decided that it must go. But we wanted to make sure that members of the police, as colleagues, are drawing comfort on what was presented by the police on their submission to us, so that we ask the department and the team of lawyers that are working with the department that take this submission, go and meet with the DG, and on the line by line, together with the young man, congratulations for the young man, the state law advisor. I learned that he's got going to receive a new baby today. So, Mama Mkalele was Simonele Lama Tamsang. Yes. So, I've asked him also, because he has been part of us, that they must meet and they must go and check whether there is a way to accommodate the members' concern that we must not give the mandate or a directive of another department to another department. So they went back, and last week we refused that they must give us a report on the entire document. Up until today, we must get that report when we are a joint committee, so that also the police, whilst they are having some members who are serving in the committee, but it is to be correct and a better working relationship. If the entire police committee is here, and then that reply and checking whether we've accommodated the police concern in their submission, in what way, then Gideon and the Patrick would be presenting that, because Mom, I'm sure the young man is brief you, but you will see what are the issues there in his absence. But we are going to ask first to Gideon, because Gideon, I'm not sure whether members of the police are still having their submission from their department. Yeah. If they don't have, I would ask Pori to go and make a copy for them, so that when we are giving a reply there, we are able to show them where are these responses we are making, and then in terms of the submission by the police. Or, Gideon, what you should do, on this paper, on this document, the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee for Sports and Recreation, on this document, have you accommodated the reply, or the reply is on a separate document that you have given, a separate document? Correct. Do you have the original, that submission from the police, initial one?
Yes.
Not here. Mekola Bernard, do you have the original document? Sirion, just give Bori the original document and go and make copies there and quickly. But in the meantime, we'll just go on a little bit. Gideon, give Tori one copy, and then you will just in the meantime go very slowly, so that members must have that original copy. I'm sure you need it, but we have it.
It was agreed that we wouldn't get a copy last week.
No, not a copy of the reply.
Okay.
You remember the police have made a submission. So where they were given the submission by the police, now we have sent the team to go and respond to the police submission, but the thrust of our mandate to them is to remove everything that the minister probably has an intention to instruct the police. So if you don't have it, it's fine, but I think they must have it, so that it's important for them to follow the replies by the department.
Thank you.
No, ke a tseba ntho eno. Ke batla document e maponesa a ne etsa submission ka yona gore. Yes. Yona fela ke yona tshwantse etse copy fela. Respond yona ha ena taba tla e fumana. Gideon?
Chairperson?
The only thing that we want now is that document of the police when they were making a submission to us. That is the only thing that we want.
There it is, Mr. Chairperson. That's the electronic version of it there.
Yeah, yeah. We want Pori to take the hard copy and go and make copies. In the meantime, we will use the screen there.
Yeah, because it just for some reason, it didn't lock it on the computer. So I'll contact there out now. Give me another one. Give me your stick. You don't need that.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you've got it. No, I don't know exactly where to do that. Have you got
the flash? Yes. You've got.
There's a tea outside today. It's going to be cold. Mr. van der Lende and Annelies. There's tea outside then.
That's your different. JG, that's yours.
Yeah, let's just break for tea in the meantime. Why is Gideon struggling there with poor?
I've started it already. Don't worry, there's only very few documents there. So just hang on. Just poorly, don't worry. I'm going to. Then there was another document, which is. No, he's got the police presentation. Police National. There's the Police National Commissioner presentation. Listen,
just check and make sure that it's actually on.
And then the last one, there's three documents you need to bring. You need to bring this. This is the presentation. That's the written submission of the police.
Okay,
and then just hang on a sec. And then. And then, just help me find your response, your department's full response. There it is. Can we take out the word draft here? I don't think he even changed it. Okay. Now this isn't an important one. This is an important one. This is an important one. So we need that one for sure. Okay. And then but you've got the one, so you only have to do the two. Can we not try and get it up on your presentation and on your screen? Do you have it on your hard drive? No, this thing. Did you close your thing down? If you're going to make a presentation, I want to look at the screen.
Thank you.
hasn't sorted out.
If you close your computer down, and then I'll take this thing out and plug it in, and then start that. If you want to be doing it.
What's he saying?
We have ways of getting things out of people, remember that.
Are we ready, Gideon? Are we ready, Gideon?
Let's
waking tea. I've really. No.
Please keep one with you.
For now, there is no document because the document they are copying, they're doing a copy of what was presented to us by the police. But unfortunately, other members of the police do not have their submission from the police. Now they are making a copy from the police submission so that they must be in possession of that copy. But in the meantime, we are asking Gideon and Patrick to present the response first. But Gideon, in the meantime, because people do not have a document, you will put what the police has put as an argument there, then you put what we have prepared as a response to our department. But firstly, we would like you and Patrick present and yourself as people who work on the document, and then they respond. But the copy will come, and then when the copy comes, then we'll be able to follow you. But after that, the response that we have given to us, all members must have that response, because they can't just have empty hands on the response that we've made. But it's a pity that we said to you, the cop is scolding me. I said, well, you must not give any of us that document, and then all of us must see it fresh today. So you are going to get a copy, honorable cop member. And Patrick, okay. you can present.
Okay. Good morning, Chair, honorable members.
You must press that because they are recording there.
Good morning, Chair and honourable members. I'm just presenting this on behalf of the Department of Sport and Recreation. The purpose of today's presentation, and you will see the nature of the presentation, Mr. Chairperson, is that we deal with the, we incorporate the staff submissions, the thrust of those submissions, and we provide a response, the department provides a response to them. The Portfolio Committee on Sport and Recreation has requested the Department of Sport and Recreation to prepare a formal response to the 8 September 2009 submission of the National Commission of the South African Police Services to the Portfolio Committee on Police in order to ensure that the bill contains no legislative or jurisdictional overlaps. And I think that's the important reason why we're here today. Provide members present here today with a strategic overview of the Department of Sport and Recreation's response to the SAP's proposal to effectively split the bill pursuant to the said oral and written submission of the National Commission of Police and also regarding the implementation, as it was called, that was the heading of the document, the SAP document, implementation of the Sports and Recreational Events Bill 2009. Provide members with a high-level synopsis of the salient features of the response in order to furnish them with a substantive basis upon which they may clinically assess whether the SAP proposal is feasible, technically sound, and undisruptive to the legislative process and timelines indicated by the chairperson of the committee, and furnish members with an empirically supported overview of the extent of the formal consultative process between the department and all relevant role players, including the State Department, in connection with the contents of the bill. Now, if we look at the turn to the SAP submission, Mr. Chairperson, the members of the Portfolio Committee on Sport and Recreation did not attend the 8 September 2009 submission of the National Commissioner to the Portfolio Committee on Police. However, the following documentation was provided by the department, provided to the department by the South African Police Services after the said submission for information purposes. Firstly, the copy of the PowerPoint presentation of the National Commissioner to the Portfolio Committee on Police. Secondly, a copy of the National Commission's briefing speech to the Portfolio Committee on Police, and then a proposed draft chapter for inclusion into the Regulation of Gatherings Act 1993, pursuant to the proposed SAP splitting of the bill. The primary thrust of the SAP submission, in essence, the SAP submission entailed a proposed splitting out of the current responsibilities of the National Commissioner and his or her authorized members in terms of the bill,
for incorporation into two separate pieces of policing legislation, that is to say, two new bills, in terms of, firstly, the SA Police Services Act, and secondly, the Gatherings Act. Obviously, the references are there. Alternatively, which was the, what we call the fallback position, a second position of the SAPs, was that the SAPs aspects of the current version of the bill be compartmentalized and separated from the balance of the provisions of the bill. That is to say, the first part of the bill would deal with the department's responsibilities, whilst the second part of the bill, that's the Department of Sport and Recreation, whilst the second part of the bill would deal with the SAPs responsibilities. Now, I thought it would be quite important for us to look at the original reasoning adopted in the legislative drafting process in respect of the bill before members. And effectively, the methodology of the department in fulfilling its parliamentary mandate was to prepare this important piece of public safety legislation. It was to create, firstly, legislation which would, in essence, be stakeholder-friendly and easy to refer to in order to promote an integrated stakeholder approach to safety and security provision at public events. Secondly, was the creation of an omnibus piece of public safety legislation, in other words, legislation found in one place, effectively, as opposed to the disparate legislative approach in the United Kingdom, where event organisers, for example, have to refer to approximately 11 pieces of separate legislation when they are planning an event. So we wanted effectively one piece of legislation. It would have certain cross-references, but it would be one place for stakeholders on the ground to go to and when organising an event. Firstly, does the SAP submission align itself with the original legislative drafting approach? In other words, looking at those previous legislative objectives, did the proposals that police made, did they align themselves with this drafting approach? And it is respectfully submitted by the department that an adoption of the SAP's proposals would undermine the original drafting objectives and methodology of the bill. For example, it would, in the department's view, materially disrupt the flow and intended ease of reference by stakeholders of the current version of the bill. Two, it would negate the attempt to create an omnibus piece of piece of public safety legislation with reference to the earlier proposed creation of two new bills or amendments to bills, the Police Services Act and the Gatherings Act. And it would certainly shorten the current bill to an extent, because the police do play an important role, obviously, in this legislation. But it certainly would shorten the current bill before members to an extent that it would, in effect, and in the department's view, become a legislative nullity. And I think most importantly, given the nature of this public safety legislation, is that it would unnecessarily delay the introduction of legislation designed to protect the safety of the public and participants at local sporting and recreational events. And our view is, or the department's view is, surely this could not have been the intention of the police. Now, if we turn to the department's views on the technical flaws in the SAP submission, the department is convinced that the SAP's proposals at this late juncture are fundamentally and irretrievably technically flawed for the following reasons. Proposed amendment of the Gatherings Act. Now, we look at the two proposed amendments.
Don't read the newspaper during the committee meeting. Yeah, there's a paper. You have an open up a paper. Please close that paper. It's irritating me. Because if you want to roll and read the newspaper, read it elsewhere.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we look at the proposed amendments of the Gatherings Act, it was never the intention of the original drafters of this legislation. Now, this is talking about the Gatherings Act. It was never the intention of the original drafters of the Gatherings Act, which was specifically aimed at political, labour, action and associated pressure group gatherings and marches, see Section 1 of the Gatherings Act, that it be used for the provision of safety and security at public sporting and recreational events. And importantly, if you look at the second point, Mr. Chairperson, is that police SAPs acknowledge this fact in paragraph 10 of their 8th September submission to the Portfolio Committee, which members will have at hand, will get copies of shortly. So they acknowledge that fact. It's not something that we're saying that they don't agree with. SAPs also acknowledge that if they were to use the Gatherings Act for the proposed splitting of the bill, they would have to amend the definitions clause of the Gatherings Act, given that it currently excludes, on a reading of it, sporting and recreational events.
Patrick?
Yes.
We don't have that submission. So I want you to be a little bit slowly and make us understand.
Okay.
And if the police were requesting that the bill should be placed on the Police Gathering Act, and then what makes us not to put it there? Because we don't have that submission. What are they saying in the submission? And then when they in the Police Act, they all have any other governance except for the sports and recreational events. What do they have there? In their bill, they don't have any place where they are catering for sports and recreational events.
That is correct. That is in essence. I think you've summed it up for the member chairperson. Is that the act as it currently stands, the Gatherings Act, was never intended, and I don't think there will be a dispute of that fact, it was never intended to be used for sports and recreational events. In the definitions clause, it's not even referred to sporting and recreational events. And I think the important point, and I think we're at it end, is that in paragraph 10 of that submission, the police acknowledge that fact. In other words, they say that the Gatherings Act would have to go through a significant amendment, obviously, to incorporate the thrust of what the National Commissioner was saying in terms of incorporating those aspects, taking out those aspects of our bill that deal with the policing function, and then inserting it in this legislation. So, in fact, a new legislative process would have to be started. That's the first thing, and a new bill, etc. And I think the thrust of our submission is also that it obviously would set back this particular process. It would also disrupt the flow of the existing bill, okay, in particular, and also the whole purpose of getting ease of use for stakeholders. In other words, event organizers and other people on the ground. It would make it more difficult for them because now they would be having to look at the much smaller safety, sports and recreation events bill if that submission was to be accepted. Secondly, they would have to look at the Gatherings Act and all the Police Services Act, which we'll come to now. So, yes, it would be, I think we summed it up now between yourself and myself, Mr. Sanderson, what the situation would be. Okay, where did we get to? Okay. In short, the SAT's proposal to broaden the scope and definition of a gathering in terms of the Regulation of Gatherings Act in order to incorporate sporting and recreational events constitutes nothing less than, in the department's view, obviously, an aberration of the original intention of the legislature as far as the Gatherings Act is concerned. Now, if we consider the wording of the contents of paragraph 12 of the SAT submission, it unfortunately appears that the SAP's emphasis is misplaced. It wishes to treat sports and recreational events from a regulation of a public gathering perspective rather than on the intended promotion of the safety of attendees at sporting and recreational events. In other words, we go back to the wording of the Gatherings Act and its intent. Because the wording of the submission of the National Commissioner with respect to the National Commissioner is that it refers to the word gathering. The gatherings of people, etc. When in the final analysis, we were talking about the promotion of safety at events, at sporting and recreational events at the country. And as I say, when you get your copies now, you'll see that paragraph 12. You'll see what we're talking about when we say that. In this regard, the department foresees that any adoption of the SAT proposal would lead, in the department's view, to a flurry of litigation founded upon the principles of the interpretation of statutes by persons wishing to escape the very real public safety import of the provisions of the bill. What do we mean by that? What we are saying is, in terms of our current principles of law in our country, and in terms of the, if people are wishing, say, for instance, to challenge the content of, say, the incorporation of the aspects of the bill into this Gatherings Act, so if we were to agree to that, it is our view that people on the ground involved in sporting events, etc., who are wishing to circumvent what we are trying to do with this public safety legislation, they would attack that on the basis that it was never the intention. In terms of the principles of interpretation of statutes in our country, it was never the intention for that particular piece of legislation in the minds of the legislators at that time
you know, to have covered sporting and recreational events therein. Now, moving now to the proposed amendments of the SA Police Service Act. The department respectfully submits that the SAP's proposal to amend the South African Police Services Act 1995 by incorporating within this police legislation all of the provisions of the bill. In other words, now this bill just disappears, the current bill before members after this long process, would defeat the whole purpose of the desired creation of an integrated, multi-stakeholder approach to public safety at events. And I think that's an important point, is that the hosting of these sporting recreational events from a practical perspective involves a number of stakeholders, not only police, okay, in terms of this submission to bring it within the Police Services Act. You have national controlling bodies, you have event organizers, you have the police obviously as an important stakeholder, but you also have municipalities and the emergency and essential services of those municipalities. And certainly it's our view that it would defeat this purpose, particularly as this integrated multi-stakeholder approach to public safety at events is an approach which is aligned with international best practice. And I think that's the important point to stress here. It is also respectfully submitted that an adoption of the SAS proposal to amend the SA Police Services Act would not only undermine the original drafting objectives and methodology of the bill, it would also, and we stress this again, referring to the Police Services Act, etc., an unnecessary delay of the introduction of legislation designed to protect the safety of the public and participants at local sporting and recreational events. And you will recall, Mr. Chairperson, the list of, in our original presentation to Parliament, the list of ongoing incidents at sporting and recreational events since the Ellis Park disaster, as you recall, it fills a whole page here, constitute a material, I think this is an important point, it would constitute a material waste of public resources as contemplated in the Public Finance Management Act. So in other words, all the effort has gone now, up until now, in terms of the bill before members and the public hearings that have been held and the processes that led up to this legislation would obviously now be wasted. Dual administration of legislation. Now, this was another thrust of the SAS proposal we're talking about. The department, that's the Department of Sport and Recreation, who is supported by the state law advisors, we have a written comment from them in respect of this, respectfully submits that the SAP's contention by implication of its proposed splitting of the bill, that dual administration by different government departments, in other words, has no place in the bill, is not supported by current legislative drafting practice. In other words, in the SAP submission to the Portfolio Committee on Police, they stated that dual administration by different government departments, this was their contention, has no place in the bill and is not supported by current legislative practice. However, we submit that it is. We say that if you have to look at the Special Measures Act 2006, Act No. 11 of 2006, then the Special Measures Act No. 12 of 2006 and the wording of that, and the Criminal Procedures Act, for example, is another example. That in itself, again, gives you an example of where multiple departments are referred to in a single piece of legislation. So it's not foreign to do this, and it's not foreign to our legislature to do this. Another example is the various, and a very good example, is that if you look at the various environmental legislation which provides for concurrent roles for the ministries of environmental affairs, water affairs, minerals and energy, all within environmental legislation but covering multiple government departments. Okay. Then, failure by the SAP to acknowledge the committee's approved amendments to draft bill. Noteworthy, we might add, in its absence in the SAP submission, was the failure by SAP to acknowledge the Portfolio Committee on Sport and Recreation prior approved amendments to the bill. Now, we accept that in terms of their submission, they were commenting on the original bill introduced to Parliament. Okay. But what the SAP was aware of, in view of their participation in the legislative drafting process, is that we had already, in terms of the submission by the department, by DG, two members, and also by the amendments that we have in the documentation that is before members today, is that we have ensured, we have taken out all references where the Minister for Sport and Recreation would be consulting with
or the minister, the commissioner of police had to consult with the minister for sport and recreation with regard to certain aspects of the bill. Those have been excised, and we were busy with that process before that submission, and we just feel that it was a little unfair for SAPS not to have mentioned that to their members, that we had already ensured the unfettered discretion of the National Commission with regard to security matters in the bill. And the prime example was, for instance, Clause 5 dealing with the categorisation process. And we say here, why was the National Commissioner not advised of this fact prior to the submission to the Portfolio Committee on Police? Because I think if he perhaps had been advised, perhaps he might not have had such strong feelings on the issue once he saw that his powers in terms of security issues were unfettered in the latest versions of the bill. Alleged interference with the management of the SAS. The assertions contained in the National Commissioner's briefing document, paragraph 4, that there are substantial provisions in the bill which impact in the manner which the National Commissioner would normally manage the SAS is not supported by the bill or the subsequent directives of the committee regarding responsibilities of the National Commissioner. C. Now, I don't want to go through all of those examples. We actually refer in the bill, even in the original version of the bill, where we say that it would not impact in the manner in which the National Commissioner would normally manage the SAT. And we say that firstly, because we have already, together with the state law advisors, removed all references or interference with the discretion of the National Commissioner. And secondly, you could actually see in the first version of the bill already, looking at sections 4.3, 7.3, 11, 12, 1B, I don't want to go through all of them, dealing with responsibilities, risk categorization, high risk safety certificate, event safety and security planning committee, the functions of the event safety and security planning committee, the venue operations center, event ticketing, prohibition notices, exclusion notices, deployment of state security services. These were all firmly within the management of SAS at the time, even in the original version of the bill. It is evident that the National Commissioner enjoys unfettered decision-making in as far as his management of the SAS and its resourcing in respect of the proposed securing of public events in terms of the bill is concerned. As such, and despite SAS's assertions of the contrary, the bill is clearly aligned with the constitutional responsibilities of the SAS as more fully set out in inter alia section 205 of the Republic of South Africa Constitution Act. Now, the next point is more with administrative issues. It's the timing of the SAS submission. The department is astonished that at this late stage, and given a lengthy, well-recorded consultative process with SAPS, going back to our first meetings and discussions with various senior commissioners of the South African Police Services during 2005. The department has, at the request of the committee, prepared a table and indexed detailed synopsis of the exchange of correspondences and proposed amendments to the bill by SAPS over the past 4 years. That file is with you, Mr. Chairperson. You have it there. And I think the important point is that it's not just with Director Van der Walt, as you know, when you look at those communications, there's copies to the very senior hierarchy of the South African Police Services. The documentation before you, Mr. Chairperson, constitutes clear and unequivocal evidence that consensus was reached between the department and the staff regarding the current of the version of the bill before Parliament. Furthermore, it should be noted with reference to the indisputable evidence that it cannot be fairly stated that Director Bert van der Walt is sitting next to me, one of the members who has been involved with us all this time, who has been the department's primary liaison person from SAS, was on a frolic of his own, as has been intimated from various quarters within the SAS. Even if this contention regarding Director van der Walt was true, so even if it was true, which it is not, Mr. Chairperson, the department's perspective that it was at all times dealing with a senior official from the SAS Legal Services Division who ostensibly represented the authority of a duly authorized official acting within the scope of his duties. The vagaries of the SAS internal communication structures cannot now be relied upon as a basis to effectively disrupt a legislative process which is at an advanced stage. The department also submits that members must not lose sight of the fact that the current version of the bill was submitted and approved by our cabinet at a meeting held during August 2007 that was attended by the then Minister for Safety and Security, who no doubt has had been briefed by his department and or staff in connection with the bill before attending that cabinet session. Recommendations. This is the department's recommendations. With reference to all of the above and the empirical evidence in support of the department's contention that the SAPs, including senior members of its legal services division, has had intimate knowledge and actively participated in the drafting process of the bill before Parliament, the department proposes that the belated 8 September 2009 submission of the SAPs, in as far as its proposed incorporation of all of the provisions of the bill into the South African Police Services Act, or the preferred splitting of the SAPs responsibilities into the functions of the functions of the bill into the Regulation of Gatherings Act, not be entertained by the joint portfolio committees on police who are present here today and sports and recreation. That is not be entertained, Mr. Chairperson. That the previously agreed accommodation between SAPs, the department and the state law advisors present here today of the SAPs request that there be a clear and unfettered delineation of the National Commissioner's roles and responsibilities while still maintaining legislative flow and ease of reference by stakeholders within the bill be endorsed by the Joint Committee here present today. And that the Joint Committee, in as far as the bill is concerned, endorse the State Law Advisor's opinion that in terms of current national legislative drafting practice, there is nothing out of the ordinary barring new legislation to contain provisions which provide for the administration by two or more ministries of state. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Good. The department, when the National Commissioner made that submission, he was not part of the portfolio committee when we said to you. The concern raised by the police, when you just read that or you listen, it's a genuine concern. But thereafter, the National Commissioner and the Minister had the privilege to go and brief their committees there. If they would have had a privilege of coming to meet with us, I do not think they could have made such a submission. So it's not a train smash. I'll give you an analysis. It is not a train smash. It's just that at the time when this matter was raised to us, all of us jointly will agree that anything that has to do with the police, you must remove it or you must go and see how it should be catered for the Minister of Sports and Recreation not to give direct to the National Commission. So that is exactly what has been done. And that is what exactly we said. And that is what you have catered for there. That has been a concern. So don't worry about the late submission by the National Commissioner. It's got nothing to do. And we are not even going to talk about that. He's got the absolute right to make that submission in the light of not having information from us or been interacting with us on the things that we have catered for in the bill. Yes. Okay. Donald, and then Alice. Yes.
You know, I wanted to ask for sort of for time out for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
For the DA delegation, just to discuss exactly where we stand on this matter. You understand?
I think we agree, but let me just, because we're from Port and we haven't had time to really just discuss this. I hope that you will be here, but very fine.
If you agree to that, I think it's important that before we do that thing, that we also just put in perspective. I think while what's presented here by the department is correctly reflects the presentation that was given to the Portfolio Committee of Police, I think the most important aspect of what came out of that committee meeting is not presented to this committee. And that was that we rejected that. That was the fact that we rejected the proposals by the police.
Yeah.
And that we said that all that needs to be done is that the Minister of Safety and Security be the person that the Commissioner reports to. That's the only thing. So I think while we've gone through an hour's presentation now, the most important section of what was decided in that committee meeting was actually not here. In fact, we went as far as saying that you can't put it in the SAPS Act because the SAPS Act manages the police as an organization, as a department. We were not in support of a splitting of the bill either. The only thing that we've requested is that it be in line in terms of the reporting line. So actually, it's a pity that didn't come out as well. Because that was the final decision of the Portfolio Committee of Police. We rejected outright, and we made it clear that they're wasting our time when they came with that presentation.
Thank you, Annelies. Yes, Thomas?
I'll give you one. Chairperson, thanks, Annelies, for that information. That is exactly what I wanted to discuss with the delegation on police outside. And they agree that Annelies really, you know, put everything that is the decision by from their side, that they sort of reject the recommendations by staff.
Yeah, you see,
we don't need
okay. But I don't want people to quickly forget. And the department has erred. They've made an error there. Because the chair of the police was outright in terms of what was discussed there. I can recall that we are not going to split the bill. The bill goes on. And that is why we had begin to deal with this bill, because the committee, through the chair, had absolutely said, no, we don't accept that, the splitting, we don't accept what is said there, and the bill must go on. But the mandate, in terms of line function, should be what has happened. But I think that record has to be put very clear, because if Gideon can recall, I even conveyed that message when I went into the meeting of the discussion with the chair, and the chair of the police even reiterated that and said that there is no way that this bill can either be withdrawn or be split. It must go ahead. Other things we will went ahead and then correct whatever is there. But the bill, as it is, had to go, if you recall very well. Unfortunately, I'm this kind of an elephant that recalls some of the little things that have been said yesterday.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want also to mention the fact that the purpose of that meeting was not for the department to make submissions on the bill itself, because our understanding as the portfolio committee was that it was the department had drafted the bill and had signed it. And the purpose of the meeting was therefore for the department to brief us on the implementation plan. That was the purpose of the meeting. So when they took us through this whole submission, even at the end, as Annelisa is saying, we said, once we take note of your submission, but this bill stands as it is, because it was from you, you drafted it. And in fact, we asked the legal unit to tell us about its responsibilities as a unit, but also its role in the bill. And that we did in the meeting. So I was really listening, you know, as you are making your presentation, to say, well, probably you are therefore not informed about that very conclusion.
Correct.
That is what you're not informed. Because honestly, we are coming here to hear as to how you have incorporated some of the genuine things that are there. The reporting of the National Commissioner to the Minister of Sports and Recreation, which we think it cannot happen. But that we can split the bill, that we can, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I think it's absurd. It can't happen.
Yeah.
I think so, because it actually means you've got to amend the whole SAPS Act or the Garra Desirings Act. So we said that in the meeting. And in fact, I think one has agitated a little bit. We had to tell the department, the issue that you're raising, the late submission, the very fact that all the way along they've been there. I mean, we had to say that. The head of the unit was there. We didn't allow her to say she's not part of it, because she remains accountable for whatever that happens in that. She can't delegate even the accountability. That's what we said to her. You can delegate the authority and responsibility, but you can't delegate the accountability. You remain accountable for what is happening from your section. So I was listening, but I think we definitely can't accept that. If there is anything, it could be that there are things in the bill that we think we need to deal with, that we are ready to do.
If I may.
Yes, sir.
Just to assist members, there's some documents before you, which is the latest version of the book.
The one that has this thing. There are two. The other one is thin, The other one is thick. On the thick one.
So you have the thick one, which is the current version of the bill as amended in line with the directives given by the Portfolio Committee on Police, which we're discussing now, and obviously the members for the COP for Sport and Recreation. And then the other document is a spreadsheet where we've captured all the directives, which includes the directives relating to ensuring that the National Commissioner has an unfettered discretion. And we, you will note on a reading of the current version of the bill that all of those issues have been addressed. They have been addressed. So just a perusal of this document by you would confirm that. We have taken all of those references out, so we're quite happy that it now reflects an unfettered discretion of the National Commissioner for Police in respect of security issues. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Gideon? Thanks. You remember, but what you have done is the thrust of what we have requested you to do. Now we're going a little bit further now in checking what is in the bill, the broad understanding of the responsibility of the National Commissioner and the relationship of the Sports and Recreation and the National Commissioner and the Minister. That has been clear. Now, the other thing that was raised, I want us to raise these topical things in the presence of the police before they probably they could go. One of the things that was raised there by the CIRA delegation was an issue of Stewart. Yes, you remember that. And then can you take us through on that definition of the Stewart, whether it is in line in what the delegation from CIRA presented it, so that at least we must not have a definition that is different from what is in the existing law. Yes, Patrick. Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. I'm saying one of the things that I want you to deal with it in the presence of the police was also the issue of the steward. How did we cater the understanding of the steward in terms of what it is in their own laws of fear.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. The challenge that we have currently is that, and it was appointed out by the chair lady of the police committee, is that there's a current definition currently within the CIRA legislation, which by its definition include
yeah.
safety stewards.
Page 14 of the document that we are having. Page 14, I think paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, paragraph 6. You will see the steward with bold writing there.
That is correct.
Yes.
And what it was in consultation with the state law advisors means that it is a person appointed in terms of section 44B to be responsible for the marshalling and overseeing of the safe and general flow of spectators, the provision of event information, including safety and security information to spectators, the provision of ushering services, and the provision of assistance with emergency evacuation procedures to persons within a stadium and a venue and their precinct. So in other words, what we have done in the bill is that we have delineated the function of a security officer, which is also defined in the legislation, which that would be on page 13. You will see the definition of a security officer means a security officer as defined in section 1 of the Private Security Industry Regulation Act, and you'll see the term security service and security service provider comes straight from that legislation. So in other words, we delineated or separated the functions of a person that provides a safety function with no security aspect as a steward, and then as a security officer, as defined in the CIRA legislation, who provides a security service. So we delineated that completely, so it's clear on any reading of this. There is one small challenge though. It's clear in this legislation, but not in the CIRA legislation, because a steward in the CIRA legislation, it refers to the definition there that a person that provides a safety function, not a security function, must also register in terms of CIRA legislation.
And that is a bit of an anomaly because that legislation is actually aimed at security. So it says even a person that is providing safety, such as a crowd marshalling service or event information or an ushering service, they say in the serial legislation we must also register as a security officer. And I think that's something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, you see, you are saying exactly what... You see, I want to be honest. I think we agree as a sports committee. We don't want to go and walk on other people. I think the issue of the steward was the bone of contention. And especially after it was presented by the delegation from Sierra. Because they're saying steward could be anybody else. And that's where the problem was. And I wanted the department to say, in the concern raised by Sierra, that in our own understanding, the steward is different from what they are saying, because they are saying even steward, the Sierra says, even steward has to be registered. And we will have taken steward in the light of anybody can show you where should you go and all that, who's got nothing to do with any other form of registration. But the presentation by the Sierra people was that, no. You see, those people are among the people, the VIP and everything, and at times they do a certain function. And therefore, we don't want a steward which is not registered. That's where we have to see how can we strike a balance in trying to cater for the concern of the Sierra. Yes, Donald?
Chairperson, just in the lighter vein, it was between a steward and a marshal. It was, is it called a steward or a marshal? Now I see a steward is marshalling, so.
Yes, Patrick.
If I might, Chair, the reason it was an issue for Sierra was because certain event organizers and certain stadium owners were attempting to circumvent the Sierra legislation by calling a person a steward, which is a relatively recent concept, recent years in South Africa, and getting them to do searching of people and all sorts of security functions. And that is where this became an issue. And I agree with Sarah that it was an issue. And in fact, it was my understanding that they had actually implemented an investigation even into the SAOC, Organizing Committee, with regard to deployments during the Confederations Cup. Be that as it may, the fact is what we have done in consultation with the state law advisors is done exactly what they've done in the United Kingdom, in the Green Guide for Safety at Football Stadiums, is that they define a steward as a person who provides a safety, not a security function, a safety function. Then they also have security officers, because they also have recent security officer legislation. They provide a security function. But the one little anomaly that might have to be dealt with by perhaps an amendment of the Sierra definition of is that they currently even require a steward, I mean a person who provides a safety function or an ushering function to be registered as well. And the administrative impact of that would be very significant for that organization. And I really believe that the intent originally of the Sierra legislation was to deal with people who provide a security service as defined, and not to start dealing with people who do an ushering service amongst the general body of spectators. But that's just the department's view. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
there was a submission from Shabalala, somebody,
yeah,
who said they are training stewards. And if we were to have stewards who are trained, that's for the sake of training, not in terms of standards set by a particular body, then it becomes a problem. But again, this definition actually says we must go and amend the Sierra Act. That's what it says.
Yeah,
and we have the Sierra Act right now that is in force, and I should think until such time that that legislation is looked into, we cannot then process a bill that does not talk to that act. We can't. So that's the issue. And I'm of the strong view as a person that this should be in line with the Sierra Act. And I just imagine in an event, World Cup, for instance, I go out, I take anybody and I say she's a steward. Not registered, not known who the person is. They go in there, they assist people, they do this and that, then they steal things. And who remains accountable? For me, it doesn't make any sense. So we cannot agree to a legislation that forces us to go and amend another legislation.
Ms. Collar,
thank you, Chair. Yes, I think we find ourselves on the horns of a dilemma here. Well, my chair is absolutely right. I think we have to try and look at the reality of the World Cup, and especially as a job creator, because if we say that anyone who is a steward, and according to the CRF, they have to go through very specific official training. Which I think it's with just 8 months to go, might be, to use a favorite phrase these days, a challenge, not one I think we're going to overcome. So we actually need to put our heads together and find a way around this. Now, there is no time, I don't think, to amend the CERA Act before then. It's too late. So can we try and work a way around this, even if we use a different phrase from steward? If we go back to using a marshal, if we use some other word that we allow people who are literally just used to assist crowds, we really cannot find ourselves in a position where hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of people who are hoping to get jobs around the World Cup are sidelined because there's a sentence in a bill somewhere that says they should have had 6 months training through CERA. We've really got to find a way around this. Thank you.
Can I just ask, is there a definition in the CERA Act of safety function? Because that might be something we can look at.
But the Chair, yes, there is. And unfortunately, that definition is very wide. It would even include a marshalling service or anything, yeah, it does. But I think Mr. van der Walt, Mr. Chairperson, I think Director van der Walt, I think, has an elegant, he's come up, he's recalled something that's quite correct. He has a way of dealing with this. Thank you.
Help us, Mr. van der Walt. No, just wait. Donald, was another hand up yet?
No.
Okay. Yes, Mr. van der Walt.
Thank you, Chairperson. At the moment, the Minister of Police administers the CERA Act, and a lot of requests go to CERA for exemptions from the Act, from individuals who are, for instance, not South African citizens. And I think it would theoretically be possible to lodge such an application for exemption in general of those stewards who are not performing a security function as such, and present that because it goes to CERA and then to the minister and then to CERA for comment, and then the minister makes the final decision. So I think theoretically it's possible to do that.
Patrick, it now help us in dealing with this definition.
Okay.
So we must take what Mr. van der Walt is saying.
Correct.
Because it's going to remove the headache, and then even technically putting something here that suggests or forces another department to go and do realignment of their legislation. I think it saves our problem. And note that, Patrick, and then so that at least we redo that section. Thank you very much. What is another issue of contention there? Patrick,
let's go on again on what the other presenter of the steward in his presentation. It means now we have corrected what he was trying to put forward in the submission.
That is correct, Mr. Chairperson. In fact, Mr. Grootboom.
Yes, Mr. Grootboom.
Yeah, Mr. Grootboom's presentation is exactly aligned with the definition that we have here in terms of the safety function.
Yes.
And the security function.
Yes.
And as a he's a person on the ground that understands that delineation, and he made it abundantly clear to all of us. So it's exactly aligned with his submission of that day.
Good. Gideon and Patrick, I want us to deal with the very contentious issues that we must agree on them, because on the floor and other things, I don't think there'll be a lot of difference. But what were the other issues that were raised?
Mr. Chair, is that in connection with the National Commissioner?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Well, the first one was in the categorization. Was the issue of categorization in Section 5 of Section 5 of the bill. But that was the major issue, the risk categorization of events and provisional risk categorization of events. And that would be now on page 21 of the copy of the bill before you. And you will see it's all in red. And before, it was that these schedule of events would be submitted to the Minister for Sports and Recreation, and that the National Commissioner would be consulted, etc. Now, you will see on a reading of that now, that is now submitted to the National Commissioner. If you look at section now, the new section 6AB, it says an event organizer must at least 6 months before specific sport, recreation, etc., submit an annual schedule event to the National Commissioner now. So it's to the National Commissioner, not to the Minister for Sport and Recreation. And this schedule of events must contain prescribed information and sufficient particulars of the plan and event to enable the National Commissioner to make a case. So he or she makes that categorization now, because it's dealing with risk issues of the safety and security risk associated with each event. So that was changed. And then you will see here, over the page, on the top of page 22, the National Commissioner may require the event organizer to provide additional information. Subsection 5, the National Commissioner must, subject to subsection 6, consider the schedule 6A and B. So the National Commissioner has been, without going through this entire section, which is a long section, has been substituted in TOTA for the former situation where the Minister for Sport and Recreation was responsible. And we submit quite correctly, because you will see under subsection 7, starting on page 22 and going through 23 and through to 24, we give a list, a schedule of risks, as it were, that have to be considered. And all of these risks, or majority of them, deal with security-related issues. So I would submit on any reading of that, it has now been substituted in TOTA that the National Commission is responsible quite correctly.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Chair, would you like me to continue and just quickly go through all of them? High-risk event safety certificate, that would be on page 11. What makes it quite easy when you look at the copies in front of you, it's all the where you see red. Well, colour is where we made these changes, so it's quite easy then. Page 29, the bottom of page 29, where an event has been categorised as high risk in terms of section 6, the event organiser must at least 60 days before the event.
Patrick, yes. Don't jump like that. Okay. You said page 11, and then from there you are in 29.
Oh, sorry.
Just go chronologically, systematically. Don't let us jump.
Sorry, it's a false amount of changes. I'm trying to speak a bit fast.
Start on page 11, and then you go up in that way.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Okay. What I would like to have said then, that it's actually the new section 11 on page 29. That's what I should have said. That's correct, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. Now it's on page 29. It's the new section 11 with the renumbering, and you will see the high risk event safety certificate at the bottom of the page. When an event has been categorized as a high-risk event in terms of Section 6, the event organizer must at least 60 days before the event apply in the prescribed manner to the National Commissioner for a high-risk event safety certificate. Okay, so that was incorporated and changed. Okay, move on now. The Event Safety and Security Planning Committee, that's on page 33. The new clause, renumbered clause 15, page 33. We just want to point out that in this instance, the National Commissioner was always responsible for this area, and this is a key provision in this legislation. The Event Safety and Security Planning Committee and the VOC Commander. So that the department or the National Commissioner has unfettered discretion in terms of how this, the establishment of this committee, the chairing of this committee, who is appointed to that committee, to the Safety and Security Committee falls squarely within the functionality and domain of the National Commissioner.
In the disaster management and emergencies that we've met throughout, up until in George, yes, had a passionate plea to make in saying, please, let us not just be casual about a level of an official from the police who's going to be there, because they're saying their experience is that they send a junior police there, and when a senior police walks in there, overrides everything that the junior police have taken there, yet that person was asked and be sent by them there, and they said that he doesn't have those powers to can make such a decision. Now, they were requesting that how about we be specific, because they were saying I were not very sure of the level, whether it's a captain or what. They even mentioned the rank. You remember they even mentioned the rank of that particular person, that it must be the person of this rank who supposed to be there. Because if we say a police, then they have an experience of police working there and can those decisions. Now, I want us to check whether we've catered for that. Yes, sir.
Chairperson, what we would propose is that we are obviously going to draft national instructions in terms of this legislation. And one of the issues that with the initial draft of the bill we wanted to achieve was not to tie this to a specific rank, as we have officers with a relatively low rank who are very experienced in conducting operations. And in some instances, we would not have a person of a higher rank available for, for instance, a medium-risk operation. So if the committee would accept the proposal, that we deal with that internally in our national instruction.
Chairperson, you will recall that at the Khayelitsha public hearings, I think it was Mr. De Jager.
Yes.
You referred to and said, you know, in the case of a high-risk event, it shouldn't be just a be of the rank of a captain to take that decision. It should rather be a superintendent. And I think the committee actually endorsed that. So we would like to also change that in a liaison with SAPS here in that regard.
There will be no transmesh, but I want to say to Mr. Mr. Van der Walt. You see, Mr. Van der Walt, when you go to Gauteng, a disaster management, the old man there tells you that the police ran away, the disaster management ran away, and there was nobody in the VOC who can give an instruction. And you drive, you go to Ekurhuleni, you get the same. You come when it is at the end. You come to George. No, not to George. Khayelitsha, and then you get the very same consistent message. You run a risk of giving it to, I'm not micromanaging your department, but we are running a risk of giving it and not saying who's supposed to do those things and give it to your own discretion. But your own discretion gives us an experience that you give anybody, and when that person has made a decision, you overturn that decision. It is an experience that is going on there. Unless you make the members of the committee must be comfortable that really you're going to tie up that and not being really leave it to any other person to can make another decision on that. Yes,
Chairperson, I agree with you, but it definitely would be possible in the absence of any legislation for any senior member to do that. But the legislation now says the national commissioner will designate. So that person will have the power, the authority to take decisions, and as designated by the national commissioner to do this, no person can come in and say change. So I think this legislation is going to address that. But one issue I wanted to bring in is maybe to say let's take note of what the legal advisor from the department is saying, because it is true that you have junior, according to rank, police who have been doing these things for a long time and are experienced in them. And the promotion will be something else. I may be a captain, but without the experience of this. So I should think maybe to leave some flexibility with assistant secretary. But also maybe to say if we were to go for specifying a rank, I would probably advise that we even say a captain or equivalent. Because what happens if we change the name captain? What happens? It actually means it means we have got to amend this bill, because there will not be a captain. So we must accommodate anything else outside captain. I'm just saying that.
If I might suggest a way around the general or other rank issues, we could perhaps put in there a SAPS member experienced in event management, which would then cut out SAPS members who had never dealt with this sort of sporting event, something along those lines, where you're actually asking for a member who has experience. You can't say qualification, there is no qualification, but who is experienced in managing sports events. Something along those lines, perhaps.
Mrs. Shepherd.
Thanks. So similar to what I was going to say, I just want to add, perhaps just say a member of the SAPS designated by the commissioner with sufficient experience in policing and event management, something like that.
Yeah, because I think...
In his opinion, it's sufficient. So then you've got to have some discretion.
Okay. Mr. Van der Bask.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I may, quite from the Regulation of Gatherings Act, which is unfortunate, but it says here that the commissioner or a person authorized by him, therefore by himself, authorized a suitably qualified and experienced member of the police.
I think it's unfair that, but we must raise the concern with you as the police. Our experience there, when the police make the submission, was not a very nice experience, because in the police, what was a main glaring thing there, Mrs. Pangat, was that, and even whether you are equipped, how much. If a senior police comes in there, overrides what you have done there, and when he doesn't even have a shred of an experience of what you're doing as a junior police, just because he's got an authority, and then changes that. So we were arguing along those lines that the national commissioner can designate that person. It's okay, but the person who's equipped and all that, and then who doesn't have a rank, and somebody who has a rank, and then walks in there and say, with what powers and authority do you have this, and changes that. We were afraid because this fear, even one gentleman, white gentleman, will say, I'm afraid of what is going to happen here. You give the police, any police who hate me would just walk in the stadium there and call off the event, because they can do that. Now, were those kind of things that makes us to have a little bit of a worry that... if it is not the issue of the rank that is accompanied, the rank accompanied by experience, we will do it the way he's saying must do that. But I want you to be very aware that the issue of the rank is a matter of the decision maker in the police. It doesn't be a matter of competence and then with the police.
Yes,
Yes, ma'am.
Chair, I absolutely, this rank structure thing can drive you crazy. I absolutely understand. Maybe we could put in there that this particular person is appointed by the National Commissioner and authorized to hold that position. So whoever the National Commissioner says, this guy is the most qualified, he has it, and he has now the deciding power over this event.
Yeah,
I think that might get around it.
I think you're right, Mr. Conor Bernard. When you check page 33 of that document, we said the National Commissioner must designate in writing. Because if it is verbal, when any person walks in there, and then that's why we insisted and say, no, Patrick, this should be in writing so that, and if he comes in then and wants to subvert that, they said, no. But here is this person, however junior he might be, is equipped with the knowledge on these issues and he has been mandated by the National Commissioner, and therefore you cannot change this kind of a decision. And that is will be our fallback. But it will not be correct for us to share with you these experiences that are happening outside there. Yes. So do it that way, Mr. Van der Walt, and then capture it in that way as captured on the Act. But you must not leave out. That mandate should be in writing to the VOC Center. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Cora.
But I think we must also add what the Chairperson of Police has said, the issue of ranking, because we still have that with at least the rank of a captain.
Now,
yes.
No, but we think
let us not deal with the issue of the ranking. We say let us not deal with the issue of the ranking because that is what is making a problem. Let's say any person who is efficient, equipped, and knowledgeable about that matter, in writing designated by the National Commissioner, and then he understands that. It can be a doctor who has just been a professor and then is employed by the police and then is a powerful heart surgeon and therefore is qualified, designated, and then can do that kind of a job. Let's leave the title because it is the title that gives us a little bit of a problem. Thanks. Yes, Peter?
Okay. Through the chair, if we can turn to page 38, the top of page 38, you will see, following on from the CIRA submission, that we've incorporated new section 16, subsection 3 at the top of page 38, where we say that the Events 18 to 30 Planning Committee must, where a medium or high-risk event is to be hosted, submit the details of a security service provider or a security officer whose services are to be employed at an event to the authority, that's CIRA, to confirm compliance with the Private Security Industry Regulation Act.
Yeah, this was a request from the submission of those security guys. We call them the CIRA guys.
Yeah, that's correct.
Because they're saying give them time so that they must do all other police issues, vetting and what. So I think this is fine. Mrs. Colabar?
I would just ask that we put in a time frame in this section. It doesn't have to sit within X days. So they may hand it over, 2 hours before the event begins.
In fact, now I may as well address Mr. Lee that if he aware that when Ms. Kola Panat speaks or I speak, we agree. I wanted to say exactly what you say, that it's an issue of time.
No, but you don't know. I would rather not agree with Mrs. Schaefer, but myself and Donald Lee are in total agreement, Mr. Kola Banas. Myself and Donald Lee, we're in total agreement. So I don't know if you don't agree elsewhere, but we agree here. Patrick, you can go on.
Thank you.
Yeah, the issue of time, Patrick, please. Let's put that time. I think it's a good thing. You can't just walk in there 2 hours and then you are expecting this thing to happen. Let it relate to 6 months given to the police and all that, but let's attach a reasonable time frame there.
We'll do, Mr. Chairperson. The next one is on page 47. Now we're not dealing with all the changes, as you know, we're dealing with the police related ones for the members here. Page 47. Dealing with the new clauses 21 and 22, prohibition notices.
No, Patrick, tell us time first.
time frame first.
Don't go first
because I want to, when they leave here, at least all of us have an idea of what we're talking about.
Well,
don't pass time frame.
Certainly. The time frame will be linked to the Event Safety and Security Planning Committee. It can't be linked to that schedule to which you refer, Mr. Chairperson, which is the schedule of the actual event. But I would say that on the establishment of that Event Safety and Security Planning Committee and the first meeting of that committee, that certainly that would be the time that that information would be submitted. That would be submitted now to CIRA. Now, do we set a time frame for CIRA to come back? I think that's also an issue that we should be looking at. And then we also have to address the issue of where these events come up suddenly. You will know that in our legislation we provide in Section 5CB with events that are called on short notice. So obviously in that instance, that information would have to be transmitted to CIRA immediately, who would have to forthwith do that compliance work and send it back to the designated or authorized member chairing that Event Safety and Security Planning Committee.
Yeah, so Patrick, when you apply in terms of the Gatherings Act, when you go and apply for permission to march and all those other things, there are time frames set up there that you must apply on this time and then the approval and all those other things. That time, I think, would be relevant here. Then, on the issue of emergency of the IPL that comes in on an emergency basis there, then we'll see how do we deal with that one. But at least there should be a time that it's also linked to, one way or another, to existing legislation. Because I remember, as the activists, that we were not marching easily. The police says, here, Dreminite, DSN, on what up, yes. So we want that the be income smut the better, yes. So who feel die mut on that so how
we do work income.
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, I would also like to suggest that we make it linked to the date of the application, because otherwise you might get the events committee waking up at the last minute and then expecting serious to rush and do their thing. So what about saying 2 weeks after application is submitted to CIRA, or such earlier time as urgent circumstances may require, something like that, before an event?
Yeah, I think to the application it's fine, and then let's hear what you're saying. Yes, sir.
Chairperson, one practical problem that we sometimes experience from an operational police perspective is that when an event is planned, we only get the names of the security officers who will work at the event really at the very last minute for accreditation purposes. So the delay could also be as a result of the organizers or the stadium owners who do not respond quickly.
This is what exactly we're trying to make the police work to be a little bit easier. We agree, 2 weeks, 14 days is okay. After the application. Yes, 14 days after the application, because the ambush marketing to the police by the applicant, and then we must try to stop that. Yes, okay, you're fine. Okay. Patrick?
Chair? The next page is on page 47, which is with regard to prohibition notices and spectator exclusion notices. In the first version of the bill, you will see with spectator exclusion notices and prohibition notices, these were issues that were sort of the joint responsibility of the National Commissioner and the Minister for Safety and for Sport and Recreation. Page 47. 47. And that's section 20. The new sections renumbered sections 21 and 22. Those were issues, both items, prohibition notices and spectator exclusion notices, where there was a form of joint responsibility between the National Commissioner and the Minister for Sport and Recreation.
We've removed references to the Minister for Sport and Recreation, and it's only the National Police Commissioner that has jurisdiction on these related issues. Then the next major bone of contention was the on page...
Just wait first, on the 46th column.
I've been obviously reading in the papers a great deal about renaming everybody in the SAPS. Now, we're referring in this document to the National Commissioner, which means that if somebody pops up and decides to change the whole thing into an army structure, we're going to have to go back and redo the whole bill. So may I suggest we use a generic term like head of the South African... is it called the police service anymore? Whatever they're going to call it, head of the South African police, something that is not a name, because that is actually a title that may indeed be changed. And then we're back to square one. Just a thought.
Yes, Mr.
Chairperson, just to assist the committee on this specific issue, the National Commissioner is a term used in Section 203, I think, of the Constitution. So that won't change unless the Constitution changes. So I think we're safe with that.
Okay, because we were going to suggest that it should be either a national commissioner or equivalent. But if it is derived from the Constitution, then let's leave it like that. Let's leave it like that. Patrick, let's go on.
Certainly, Mr. Chair.
And but Patrick, just tell me, what is wrong when we say the national commissioner or equivalent to the national commissioner? What is wrong in that?
Well, I think you want...
Or is it got to do with the legal protocol?
Well, certainly I would normally refer that to the state law advisors, but certainly you want certainty in legislation as to...
Yeah.
Because certainly we're looking for the operational head of the South African Police Services to be making appointments with regard to these authorised officials, head of the Event Safety and Security Planning Committees, and head of the Venue Operations Centres. I'm guided here by Mr. van der Velde's raised a very good point that obviously it is certainly expressed in our constitution, and perhaps that's the one rank that's not going to change.
Okay, fine.
So I'm personally comfortable with that, actually.
Okay, Susie from the State Law Advisor.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with Mr. Panalabat that anything we are guided by the Constitution, so anything that is outside the Constitution, we don't support. We must uphold the Constitution.
Okay, fine. Let's go, Mrs. Kola Barnett, and even if the police change the title, we'll have to go and amend the Constitution. So for now, let's settle with the Constitutional.
Minister of Police, we need to tell that.
Mr. Van
Vaart?
No, I've covered.
Thank you.
Okay, fine.
The next major one, where obviously there was an emphasis placed even on the original police submission to us, to Parliament on the 8th of September, was the issue on page 62 dealing with regulations. And what you will see is that we've divided sections, the new renumbered section 45, into two sections, 45.1 and 45.2. 45.1 will deal with the regulations which the Minister for Sport and Recreation is entitled to make, and then section the new section 41.2 is where the Minister of Police will make regulations on certain issues. So we've effectively then delineated the various functions from the bill into their areas of responsibility in terms of making regulations. So you'll see the Minister of Police will make regulations on matters relating to safety and security, but not limited to the information in respect of planned events, the ticketing of events, criteria, conditions, and other requirements for the issuing of certificates, all matters relating to accreditation, the respective roles and responsibilities of safety and security role players at events, the deployment of state security services at events, the provision of emergency essential services at events, the powers of police officials at events, the function and monitoring of the VOC, and control of vendors. And the people are asking, well, why would we be putting that? But that's also got to do with the whole screening process of ensuring that people who are vendors at events are persons, obviously, who don't have a propensity towards crime, now being exposed to the general public. Okay, and then also the... So that's correct. And obviously also the ambush marketing aspects, where there's criminal penalties in our existing legislation, intellectual property legislation dealing with protection of rights holders. And then you will see, going back to section 45.1 on page 62, that the general powers of making regulations that normally appear in similar legislation, what you will see what we've done here is that there, which is dealing with the Minister for Sport and Recreation, with the general aspects relating to the making of regulations, we say, subject to subsection 2. We discuss this with the state law advisors. So in other words, there's a general power to make regulations regarding the other aspects of the bill, but with regard to security matters, the Minister for Sport and Recreation cannot do anything which is contained in the second half of the regulations, which is section 45.2. Dealing with the specific security issues. And you'll see that appears in A, B, C, and D with regard to the format of any notice. So what we're saying is there, if you look at section 45.1D, dealing with notices, so those prohibition and exclusion notices would now fall within the domain, in terms of they had to design a form, that would fall within the domain of the Commissioner of Police and not the Minister for Sport and Recreation. So we're quite comfortable currently that and the state law advisors are as well, but that's been covered now. Mr. Funnabot?
Wait first, Mr. Funnabot. Oh, but enrich what Patrick has put there so that I must give to Colibri.
No, I'm covered with what Patrick has said, Chairperson. It delineates the functions very clearly.
Ms. Colibri?
Yeah, I'm just interested and I'm my ignorance in drawing up of legislation is total. But when you have secondary ministers referred to in a bill of this sort, it actually caught me where you're referring to the minister and then another minister, but you don't know who the first minister is. Is it quite normally that the minister's in the definition and off you go? So you never use the full title of the original minister whose bill it is. Okay. So I just want to clarify that. Thank you very much.
No, the young man. I've asked the young man who's gone to receive a baby about that. And then he said as soon as you put the title, then it's going to create a problem. But when you leave it like that, then it's open-ended and therefore you can use it in any other way. Yes, but...
Certainly, Mr. Chairperson, on page 63, turning to page 64 under delegation, if we look at the renumbered clause 46, and I refer to 46 subsection 4, which appears on the top of page 64, you'll see there the insertion of that particular subclause. The National Commissioner may delegate any of his or her powers or assign any of his or her duties imposed by the Act to any police official of the rank of captain or above. Now, obviously, again, we again are going to be looking at suitably experienced terminology that we used earlier and in writing, etc. But I think, as I say again, we've covered the aspect that the police commissioner was not referred to previously under this subsection specifically, and we've now incorporated it as well. Then the next one underneath, that's the new renumbered clause 47, page 64, limitation of liability. You will see that whole new insert, numbers A, B, C, and D, have now been incorporated. Given the wide-ranging responsibilities of the Minister of Police and the National Commissioner in the draft legislation, that you will see now that they have been specifically, obviously, their liability limited where they have acted in good faith, etc. with regard to the Minister of Police, A, B, a person acting in terms of the authority of the Minister or the Minister of Police, C, the National Commissioner or an authorised member, D, a person acting under the lawful direction of the National Commissioner or authorised member. There was a feeling and submission by police that, you know, why were they being excluded if something were to happen at an event where they have acted in good faith? So they specifically requested that they be swiftly. Sorry about that. So the limitation of liability there is, as I say, those have been specifically inserted at the request of the police, and that in effect covers all the aspects relating to the police.
Gideon, the chair just want to ask something.
Yeah, no, thank you, Professor. I just wanted to really check the difference between, I mean, page 62, between 45 to 8 regulations that may be made by the minister and 3 PC. On page 63, and I'm not very sure that I'm thinking straight. Regulations on the ticketing of events by the Minister of Police. I'm just thinking aloud.
Yes,
Kiri.
Yes, Chairperson. Event ticketing in terms of the bill is actually the National Commissioner plays a pivotal role when it comes to event ticketing. And therefore, we've made provision then for the... Remember, throughout the bill, you will find references to prescribed. So this section here, for instance, 45.3, says the Minister of Police may make regulations as matters relating to safety and security, including but not limited, then it names a couple of them. You will see also here, there's no reference to specifically to event ticketing, but if you have a look at event ticketing, you'll find that there will be a reference to prescribed, meaning that this also falls under the authority of the Minister of Safety and Security. So I'm not sure whether I've answered your question now. So I think therefore it is covered, because it latches onto references to prescription wherever applicable in the particular book.
Yes, Patrick.
I think in further answer to the Joint Chair Lady's question, is that the whole issue of ticketing, you will see there's specific provisions in our legislation dealing with the outlawing of touting, the unauthorized use of tickets, which is now a criminal offence. And obviously the other third aspect would be ground rules and conditions of entry. And these all relate to either criminal offences or security-related matters. And that is why the drafting team here felt that it was best that it fell within the domain of the police in terms of the making of regulations around that, given the current provisions of the bill.
Yes, Kiria.
Sorry, Chair, but just to add on to what Patrick has said there, we go down specifically to event ticketing. Page 43, you'll find it refers to section 19 in brackets 4 on page 43. It says in 19.4, the National Commissioner may in the prescribed manner prohibit the sale of event tickets at a stadium or a venue on the day of the event. So that relates to the regulations to be made, obviously, by the Minister of Police. Definitely not the Minister of Police.
Yes, I think we captured that. But I think it is here, because the lawyer makes me to envy the lawyers in any event. Because here you said matters related to safety and security, including but not limited to.
Yeah.
the ticketing of events. So the powers of the national commissioner or the police must not be limited to other things. You even extend them on the illegality of selling of the tickets, the counting, and all those other things. Then I think it's okay. Yeah, no. And Mrs. Schaefer?
To add to that briefly, which is not what I really want to talk about, but also on the same page, subsection 6, it says the Minister of Police may prescribe any matter relating to event ticketing necessary to ensure safety and security at events. Okay, what I just want to do now is take a bit of a gap, and while the police committee is here, my chairperson is here, I've never processed a bill. I don't understand the process it goes through from here. But my major concern with this whole bill is not the substance of the bill, it's the implementation of the bill. Now, from our experience of SAPS, there's no way that all these flood of applications that's going to come in is going to be able to be handled by SAPS, certainly not at the moment. How do we deal with liaising with the President as to the date that he promulgates in the Gazette for the implementation of the bill, to liaise with SAPS to make sure that they have the necessary capacity to actually do it? Because I can foresee a huge flood of applications coming to SAPS. They're not going to be able to deal with them. Event organizers are going to get hugely irritated. And then it's going to defeat the purpose of the bill because they're going to proceed with the event anyway. Otherwise, they're going to lose a huge amount of money. How do we deal with that issue?
Yes.
I see there are many eyes on me here. The fact of the matter is, Chair, that we are dealing with these events in any event. Bad choice of words, but we are dealing with these events at the moment. The only difference that this act will make is that it will force an organizer to submit a schedule of events that are being organized, which would give us more time to prepare for events. So these event committees are formed informally every single day for every type of imaginable event where people get together. And this bill will literally just formalize that process. I think in terms of the regulations, how these submissions of the schedule will be handled will definitely be delegated to the lowest level where your organizer in a town, for instance, will submit the schedule to the designated police officer at the police station in that area.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. But the other thing, Mr. Schaefer, that is in the bill there, which we said, I think it's going to help the police. The schedule, which is an annual schedule, you remember when it said 12 months before, already the league, the PSL, and the Super 14 of rugby, they know that next year now, they're still going to play in the Super 14 League and then in the PSL and in charity and all of that. Now, those, we said they must give to the police 12 months before time and then the annual schedule, 7 months.
Six.
Yeah, we said at least in 6 months, not in the, because we said to them they know. Those who are submitting, we said that, you know that next year there's a league. And in the league, it's only three clubs that are going to go out. The three clubs are coming in there. So your schedule is not a problem. I'll give you Mrs. Colombo. Now, to the police, you must submit your league schedule to the National Commissioner 6 months, because the league schedule, that league schedule, is going to be accompanied by the application for that event. So it's going to be something that is known at the time, and then I think it's going to be manageable in giving you a time. 6 months was not a fixed time, but it can be later than 6 months. It can be earlier than 6 months, but not later than 6 months. But all the same, Mrs. Colburn?
Yeah, I think possibly the difficulty, and we had discussed this previously, is that in the bill it says that every application must go to the National Police Commissioner. And we're talking thousands and thousands of polling functions around the country every weekend. So if indeed it's going to be different in the regulations, that's not actually what it says in the bill.
So, you know, the event organizers will have the bill. They will not necessarily access the regulations until maybe a later stage or whenever. So, pointing out that that it, this must go to the National Police Commissioner, there's no wiggle room there. That's it. Thousands of applications are going to head into his office. He's going to be buried alive, or his staff will, and then you're going to have a whole call center debacle situation all over again. So I'm just looking for some alternative where perhaps it could be filtered through the provisional commissioners, police commissioners, or, you know, what's happening now is everything's going to one person who they claim will now filter it down to the provinces, who will filter it down to the police station, who's actually two blocks away from where the event's going to be held. So it just, to me, is creating a logjam. I know the SAP just can't cope with. So I'm looking for an alternative way to ensure that it happens and to ensure that the high risk of events obviously have to go to the National Police Commissioner, but that the thousands of other smaller events also falling under this legislation don't land on his desk as well.
Yes, Mr. Shepard.
My main concern is that it's actually, I mean, the National Commissioner has to make the assessment as to whether it is a high-risk event or not. That's the problem. And, I mean, you know, if it's not going to go to the National Commissioner to make that assessment, then who is? And either the Commissioner needs to have some kind of structure in place well in advance of the bill being actually implemented as an act. Or otherwise, then we must change the provision in the bill and allow for provincial commissioners perhaps to have that authority. But, I mean, that assessment is going to be an important issue.
Mr. Van, I'm going to give Patrick and Mr. Van der Walt, and then with the chair, we'll be closing this matter.
Chairperson, I think the Honourable Member hit the nail on the head. The most important aspect of this assessment process when it goes to the National Commissioner is this risk categorisation. Because that's the cornerstone of this legislation upon which it's based. Because remember, only high or medium risk events do you need an event safety and security planning committee. Only high or medium risk events need a venue operations center, permanent or temporary or otherwise. And so it's that assessment process. I mean, we need to get over this hurdle. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Mr.
Funnabert.
Chairperson, I will have to revert to our operational structures to give the committee correct information in terms of how they see this should be handled. Unfortunately, I would like to assist the committee with this, but I'm afraid that I will be speculating on that. So if I may, at the next opportunity, report to the committee on that.
Chair.
I think I'm a little disturbed by what Mr. Van der Walt is saying. In fact, I was reading on page 65, the National Commissioner may delegate any of his or her powers or assign any of his or her duties imposed by this act to any police official of the rank of captain or above. I have reservations with the rank of captain. But I would, from what Chifa is saying, I would have thought that maybe the issue of risk categorization should not be part of this, because if it says any, it actually means even that the National Commission can. I would imagine a situation where if the risk categorization is to be delegated, it cannot be anything less than a provincial commissioner, for instance, or something like that. I would imagine that situation, particularly for high risk, or for categorization, in fact. But at the same time, I'm also worried about many of these going to provincial commissioners so that they are categorized as low, medium, and what have you. That again.
Now, you're raising the concern that we have raised initially. We were, because we were trying to say a person at the level of the National Commissioner, high up there, not necessarily being entangled with what is going on there, would make at least a fair assessment and a fair judgment on this thing. Because that fear that if you give it to
compeller, this could be the consequences. So the national commissioner would, at his own understanding and in his knowledge, been able to delegate that to another person or that. But finally, that responsibility of that delegation rests with the national commissioner, and therefore, I am uncomfortable in pushing it to that level of the provincial commissioner. While I understand what Mrs. Colabanat say in terms of the work papers and everything, I quite understand that. But I am uncomfortable being that kind of a decision being given by the province at that level, and then. But let's give you a time. But you must know that there is no time, and then by next week we will be almost on the close of this. We're just going to get these two public hearings, and then when we come back, definitely we bury this bill, because we're everything that is loose and all that. This is what we're beginning to tie up, and then as soon as we're through having a consensus on this process at this level on the issues that were raised there, it means there is no any other earthquake type of a situation. There will be no tsunami. We move. So no volcano. So you'll have to be a little bit faster in checking that. And then it's a concern that is there, and then it's an administrative nightmare. It's a concourse, a delay, and many of those things. Let's check on those realities. But at the same time, don't push away our concern that responsibility. We want to rest with the national commissioner. It must be him on his own discretion who he can give that kind of a delegation in the provinces to deal with that. Don't push it away. Mr. Patrick, you can go.
Chair, that concludes the police-specific aspect. We're now going to turn to the original spreadsheet and start right from the start now and work our way through in terms of the general submissions on other aspects of the legislation.
Okay. Wait first. Ms. Colvin?
If this has concluded the section that was involving the police, I was going to ask for excuse.
Yeah, I just want to ask you first before I could. I don't have the powers to can release you, unless the chair agrees with it. Mrs. Colabana, these issues that we've dealt with now, is there any other matter probably that except the one of administrative issues, which is very important, and the little of a proposal that at the provincial level it can decrease the level of management and all that, except that? Is there any other thing from the police probably that we're not aware of, that we have worked on it or taken it whilst it is not necessarily something that we have taken notice of? Yes.
I just wanted to say we will in principle agree, but can we then take this document,
yes,
and have time to go through it? Because if we were just to say yes, here we're seeing it in this version here and today, and it will make sense if we then take it along on our time, we go through it, and then when we come to make the submission as requested by Van der Waal, we then be in a position to say yes, I think so. But maybe to say no, I don't myself, in fact, if we are done with the issues, I would request that we be released, and then to inform the members that our meeting is tomorrow.
Before Mr. Schaefer goes, I don't think this is an unreasonable request, because we still have that week of the 26th, 27th, 28th, and then when we come back, and then we'll deal with this in finalization. So from today, the committee can interact with that document, and then they can interact with the submissions. I would request that those kind of other things that you see here, send them straight to Gideon. Gideon, make the committee in this secretary have the email there
and then you must also exchange your Mr. Van der Walt will be the right person. All the other things, Mr. Van der Walt, that can be picked up in the run of the conclusion of this bill. And then let them come through you to both Patrick and Gideon, and then we'll discuss them. But we thank you very much for coming. There's been a little bit of a good exposure on the how the police are working on this. You sleeping? Can you check? Yeah, no, it's not part of my committee. It's a research. I don't know what he's going to research when he's sleeping like that. But all the same, Mrs. Colburn, and the chair, thank you very much. You have made our life easy. Mrs. Colburn, working together, we can do more. So I'm happy for that. Thank you very much. The sports committee, let's remain and deal with the continuation of our work. And the state law advisor will request him to stay because we're still going around. Oh, Mrs. Colburn said that you are sleeping very nicely. You admire. Yeah. Thank you very much. Huh? Yeah. Oh, let's have 1 minute for just breathing. Don't come closer to me.
You want a copy of that presentation?
It would be either. I don't know. But it would be. Gideon, let's go. Let's go. Go quickly where you want to go, and then in 2 minutes you must be back. Yeah, couldn't study in the class. No, study Sukon. Study Sukon, because you see, I'm Bokle Vigzayo, and then and all that. Just study Sukon, and the other one came outside of Sukon. Yeah, no, I'm telling you, study Sukon. It's just you discuss the fire, it's Ibil, so discuss the annual report, so discuss the Inamzik, investigate to the Eastern Cape and Eastern Cape two places.
Great, great.
Yeah. Because if the city here changed from Enansi Gate, it's London, because what business we are going to King William's South, something like that. Yeah. Phone. My phone. Yes.
It's about these visits. Are we going to different places now?
Yes.
I want to tell you why, Chairperson. I've discussed this with my party in the Eastern Cape too, because you know, the last time it was, say, in disarray. Do you understand?
Yes.
I mean, we must accept it. But if there is a change of program, please let me know, because I've already informed them it will be in London and in Port Elizabeth.
Okay.
But if there is a change of program, please let us know. Time
in East London, we are not getting a venue. In East London, we're only getting a venue in Queenstown.
Is it King William Town or Queen Town? King William Town. Yeah, we are getting a place there. But in where originally wanted to go, we don't get a place there.
Yeah.
And then, but Port Elizabeth, we still get a place in Port Elizabeth. It's only up there where we are struggling a little bit. But the public hearings next week are going on. And then today, when I'm going to interact with the committee staff today, because yesterday I didn't get a chance. Today we are going to break just in a few minutes, and then in the afternoon I'm discussing them. Tomorrow,
yeah,
all of you are going to get a clear message before Friday, and then how do we go and all those other things. But definitely, we are going. We would rather change a time from East London to Queenstown or King Williamstown, whatever, but Port Elizabeth still remains. Yeah, we have a place in Port Elizabeth, we have a hall, everything is arranged there. It is up there where there was a little bit of a problem in terms of accommodation, logistics for the meeting. Gideon, let's go to our original document where we've marked up to... I still have my... Oh my goodness, Cindy has taken my documents. Can you believe that? Hey, she has killed me. Just ask her to come back quickly now. Pori, she has another document there, man. What is that document, by the way? Yes. She has taken my document by mistake. Let's go.
So you dealt with the first one, we dealt with the thing for the
definition part,
Thank you, Pori. You will come with that document. Honourable members, we will push up until 5 to 1. And then we will not come back because the question, the deputy president is answering questions into the house. But what I want to request to members now is that as from tomorrow, Pori will tell me, we are now going to work a little bit of extra time because we want, when we either going there or when you come back, we're working up until 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, but we, by next week, when we come back on the 2 days or 3 days after we come back from East London and Port Elizabeth, the bill must be ready for going up for debate and all that. We must have finished the bill because the biggest challenge is the hurdle that we have today, I think, is gone now. And then and there is no disagreement on the bill. It will rather be other things not related to the thrust of the bill that we're going to have. So we are going to work a little bit of an extra time. We've been casual sometime, but now the time is running against us. And then and the other thing that is inconveniencing us is the repeat of that visit. But as soon as we're back on that visit, we have arranged that we'll work probably for the whole day. And even if we don't finish at 9 o'clock, but if we start here on a Tuesday at 10 o'clock, on a Wednesday at 9 o'clock, on Thursday at 9 o'clock, then Friday we can go home. and then come back on a Tuesday at 10 o'clock, Wednesday at 9 o'clock, and then a Thursday, and then again. So the 2-3 days, we are going to speak to the house chair, that will work from the time we start here, then the break for food, push up until 5 o'clock, whatever time. But definitely in 2 days, if we push in that way, we will be in a position to can put the bill aside. And to members of the ANC who have other committees, you don't have other committees, you have one committee. So we are going to be compulsory from next week to work on this committee, and then we finish the bill. We've been very casual about it, but we have reasons why we have casual about it, because we wanted everybody to buy in and have consensus. The one of the gender must come back, the one of the public service must come back, and the one of anything must come back. And then all of us must come and work on this committee. No, I can't say Suka must come back. But all the same, let's go on, Gideon, on the... Yes,
sorry, Chairperson, can I just raise something else?
Yes.
You will recall that a decision needs to be taken in principle by the committee with regard to the translation of the bill in Zulu, I think we said. Thanks.
Yeah. You see, the bill should be translated in one of the other language. It is in English, and then we are saying, for purposes of other languages, it must not be in Afrikaans.
Yeah.
Because the majority of our bills, for time and anything, we always do them in Afrikaans and English. Is that correct, Gideon? Now, we're requesting that this one, let it be in either the popular language that is around most of the people is Zulu. And people who are closer speaking can understand Zulu and all that, because it is one of the requirements that is there, that we cannot run all these bills in terms of the what do you call this, writing? What do you call it, Achille? When you...
Translation.
Yeah, in terms of translation,
yeah.
We must not do them in one or two languages only. But majority of the bills have been in two languages in translation. It's either it is in Afghans or in English, Afghans in English, but the requirement is that it must be in English and any other language, the translation.
Yeah.
So we are proposing. And in fact, the committee are taking a decision that the translation should be in Zulu. Yeah? Then the others will translate them later with another language. But this one, we want them in Zulu. Yeah, what is...
Chairperson,
yeah.
You know, Afrikaans speaking people understand Khoisan, Chairperson.
Okay, so you want it in Khoisan?
Yes, I Chairperson. The problem is let me down, Chairperson.
No, Donald, we. But let me ask Khoisan, what other language should you use there except English and Afrikaans? You're comfortable with Zulu?
If I had a choice,
yes.
Khoisan. Because I understand.
Khoisan,
No, but I'm just saying from my
perspective. Okay. But all the same, it's okay. We'll do it in Zulu. And then the next one that we do, we'll do in Sesotho. And the next one we'll do in the other languages, the Pedi, Setswana, and all that. Yeah? Gideon, you hear that? Do it in Zulu.
In Zulu.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Honourable members, but I want to first to appreciate Gideon and then Stefan Abbas. I think we have navigated over the storm now. Everything is fine now, under control, and therefore. But I promise you that don't have stomach running, and then it's not a big problem. You will be able to handle it. It depends. It needs you to have
you know, this thing is it's a skill. The question of the chair is not just an automatic thing. You must have certain skills and a certain approach and massage some of the people, and then you must know that you are going to get a success. You are going to succeed. It's not just like the police coming robust and do that. No. But at least we have navigated over this. I hope you are going to sleep a little bit better today.
Thank you
very much. And the police have agreed on the bill up until probably they go on and check, but they don't have a problem with it. All other things, and then the system's running. But they are aware that we are going on, and then if they could not meet the deadlines that we have requested them to meet, then they will not have any opposition. If they didn't submit anything, it means there's nothing that they have picked up on the submission. The document that I wanted quickly to go to is the document that you gave us initially, which is the one that is not having a color. The one that doesn't have colors is this one. I have mine, you remember? Yeah, Cora has his. Cope has this. Cope is improving, I'm telling you. Nowadays, I am telling you, Cope is improving with lips and bowels.
Oh.
Yes. And then the ANC has it. And then I don't think, if anybody, Malishiva has it. So you see, this is what I want out of members. Every member must have your own library next to you, so that when we discuss issues, and then you must be ready. So Gideon, we're going to page 9 of that document. Yes, Gideon?
Chairperson, I can just cite that my recommendation will be that you use that, the copy which we handed last time round to you, which I commonly refer to as the highlighted version, which is not, because your version is not highlighted.
Yes.
Whilst the copy that we distributed today is an updated version and a highlighted, actually highlighted version.
No, it's fine, but I don't want you to trick me, because I'm going to make cross reference to the document that is not highlighted with the one that is highlighted and say, the things that I have raised on the document that is not highlighted, what have you done with them on the other side? So I don't want to fall into your trap. So I am now making reference to the not highlighted document on page 9 of that document, Gideon. When we're speaking about essential services, and there is a matter there that we have written institutions or outsourced entities, I have made underline there. And there was something that we discussed around that, Gideon, if you can recall, if you have underlined your. You remember, Gideon? When we're doing with the definitions on page 9.
Page 9.
Yes. On the not highlighted document. Uh-huh. Essential services means a department or other administrative units such as a disaster management center, and includes those departments responsible for electrical, water, sewage, waste, removal, utilities, in the administration of a local authority, including any functionary, institutions, or outsourced entities. You remember we've agreed on this because we wanted it must cut across even those that necessarily do not belong to a government, but they have this kind of a function.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yes. I can add to that, Chairperson. Remember, we said, for instance.
But my nose is closing. It seems there's an air conditioner. My nose is blocking. I'm allergic to an air conditioner. I always open my car window. Thank you, Patrick. We're going to finish before you get hot, and then we'll be through.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to enlighten you, we said we've amended this this definition because you know, it was raised that some of the small local authorities, they do not have, for instance, services like electricity. It's been outsourced, and hence we have actually amended it. Actually, we amended it even more relative to your version. We've now said, instead of saying, we said including any functionary institution, and then we put in here, or an external service provider, which is more in line with existing legislation as well.
And if you can recall, on page 10, we ended up in page 10 on the Event Safety and Security Planning Committee.
Yes.
That's where we stopped the other day. Then we can go on again, Gideon.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you. I just would like to recap, you know, because Chairperson, the committee recommended that we should keep a very simple approach. The cross-referencing to definitions should actually enhance the reader's comprehension of it. So we've actually expanded on it, giving a more clear indication. So we can go now to Event Safety Security Planning Committee. You can see we're not only just referring to sections 15 and 16, we now say responsible for coordinating the functions of the role players that are involved in the provision of safety and security at an event, comma, the safety and security planning for an event, comma, the assignment of safety and security tasks, comma, demarcation of safety and security zones and areas, and to advise the National Commissioner regarding the committee's assessment of the categorization of an event.
Good. Perfect.
Likewise, you can just go on exclusion notice right at the bottom on the, you know, that definition. You'll see we've also put in...
on the event ticketing. I have discussed with you on the information that I got from Danny Jordan that there are 100 countries already now that are busy printing tickets, and there are people that are taking money from people. No, they're not printing tickets. I'm lying. They have organized a syndicate that Gideon is going to collect money from the Sports and Recreation Committee and buy tickets from South Africa and sell them to us. Now, what they have discovered, there are hundreds of those kind of people now who are beginning to do that, not in the country and outside. Now, we wanted to... Our legislation is perfect. In fact, they are saying for the first time in the World Cup that we are able to close all the gaps around the question of smuggling and the printing of the tickets. They're saying in South Africa there is not even an attempt in printing the tickets. But we have to close an attempt in reselling of the tickets. We've managed the one of the complimentary tickets, a reselling of a complimentary ticket. We've managed that one so that if Donald Lee has a spaza shop and he buys a hospitality ticket, he must not sell it. If it's given to me, I can't sell it.
Yeah.
And then because it is a gift, and then it's a complimentary ticket.
Yeah.
But it goes beyond that. It says these criminals who are now setting up all these 100 units wants to buy tickets in South Africa and go and resell them to those people, because it will be tickets that do not have names and all those other things, and resell them outside. Now, I don't know what they're going to do, but what we have to do, Gideon, I'm speaking now like a layman person. What we should do, Gideon, we must stop the resale of tickets. But after stopping the resale of tickets, tickets in South Africa must not go out of the country. If anybody buys a ticket in South Africa, like us, when we went to Germany, the Germans refused to give us tickets at home. They said that your ticket, you will get it at such a place in Germany, and then it cannot be sent to you in your own country. Now, because the game is going to be played in South Africa, all 63 teams are coming to South Africa. Now, why, when people are coming to South Africa, they're on their way to South Africa, then they can't pick their tickets up here on the places that would be designated in terms of our own act where tickets are going to be obtained before the game? Because if we can close the resale of the ticket, it means it is not going to be a problem. Those criminals who have already picked up money from people,
they will not be having tiki to resend because they didn't have an asset. But again, it will be a clear message to everybody in the world that in South Africa, there is no resale of tiki. But one thing that they have, which I like, is when Gideon has a bereavement or any other thing that can cause a national disaster, an earthquake, there is a committee, small committee that is set up there where your ticket can be validated, then it could be given to somebody else. Because other people buy tickets and they come to the funeral at home and they buy 5 tickets, they can't come. But now, that small committee has an authority to validate such things and then to happen. But it is something that they don't popularize because it's big and then can cause, if it's big, it can cause a little bit of a problem there. It's a small thing that looks into issues of bereavement and other issues that are of a very significance that they cannot use the ticket. But I want you to tell us what you should do. Because, Hidden, I want us, before we conclude the bill, because when you finish the bill, we will not come back with another insertion from anywhere else. The insertions that are going to take will be the one that comes from the police, because we'll be finished with the public hearings in the Eastern Cape. What do you say about what I'm putting forward to you?
Chairperson, perhaps I can just give you some background.
Yes.
Because we've received via the DTI, Department of Trade and Industry.
So they are lobbying me.
Yeah.
But how did it happen that the DTI, because it's not the competence of the DTI?
Absolutely, Chairperson. We actually pointed it out. And as a matter of fact, the way they've drafted it, sorry, with due respect, it was fundamentally flawed what they drafted. They tried to amend, for instance, I alluded to this, they had tried to amend an Act of Parliament by way of regulation.
What?
I couldn't believe it. They refer to an insertion of a new section 2A. Remember, 2 deals with the protection of event status.
Mm.
They inserted this by way of draft regulations. We said to them, this is not on. So, and obviously, there's no reference in that bill to event, in the Act, 20 Measures Act, that specific one, to event ticketing, which there's no enabling provision. So meaning that it's also fundamental, you first need to amend the 2010 legislation. We pointed out to them, and then we said to them, the only conduit remaining is actually the safety belt. And we have a nice provision, and then we had discussions with Mr. Leslie Sidibe and Clifford Green concerning their input. That we are still awaiting, we've made certain recommendations to, you know, to prevent the reselling and of tickets, as well as the unauthorized promotion of tickets with regard to this. So we're awaiting their input, because you said to them, we are busy with the deliberation stage, you need to quicken your mind now and give us a response. So, but having said that, you know, unfortunately, the way it's drafted here, it's not inclusive of, you know, the resale of tickets. That's catered, it is in a way, but we've beefed it up. What I'm trying to say is the proposal we've made to Mr. Leslie Sidibe is actually going a little bit, walking a little bit of an extra mile with regard to, you know, extra issues that they raised, which we now have incorporated on their behalf. But it's provided resale of tickets, it's unauthorized promotion of tickets. But one issue I think which we might have to look at, the proposal that the chair has made now, and that is that you know, the ticket should only be sold in South Africa. You can come here, buy your ticket, and then go back. But you can't now, all of a sudden, all over the show. You know, perhaps my legal counsel can make a comment on that.
Chairperson, just to assist Gideon, the practice with the FIFA World Cup, we were informed by Match, the people who arranged for the ticketing thing. Because of the fact that we have no counting provisions in South Africa due to the flawed regulations that were put on the table, one of the safety measures that they are taking, if a person overseas pays with a credit card, that person must come to South Africa, present his or her credit card, and only then will they receive the ticket. So the tickets will not be issued overseas if you pay by credit card, specifically to avoid that reselling problem.
Even when you buy that ticket through the internet, the validation of that ticket should happen in South Africa.
Yes.
Because if you buy it through the internet, you also buy it through your own credit card numbers and all that. But at the time when you come and pick up your ticket, it has to be validated against that credit card.
Yes.
And that is
yes.
going to help us to scale down on this criminal act that is beginning to take place. But the, another thing, Philion, whilst you have done that little job there, I think Sidibe and must come quickly and so that we deal with this matter, and then we have catered for it, but we have not catered it according to what they put forward to us, and they must even interact with us on how the portfolio committee has intended to provide for the resale of the TDs. So we're doing it on our own, and they've never even conceptualized that. Now we're dealing with their own flawed now, because they're trying to put that with a back door. Unfortunately, it's backfired. And then now we are doing something for them, but we can't do something for them, and then they don't want to give us exactly what is the intention in their mind about what we are trying to do. So Pori will have to talk to Sidibe in the next round. Once we've made that kind of a provision, in the next meeting that we're going to have, Sidibe and those people have to come, and we must speak to them of this amendment, and then because they've not responded to you and tell us exactly what they want. You see, that is another problem, because should they respond to you and say, even in words, this is what we want, then you will be putting that in a perspective of how this is going to be translated into some sections of the bill.
Yeah.
So I think Pori will help you, that Sidibe and this group must now come for the last time, because we want to close the gap for the resale of the team. Members, is there anything? Are we fine? Okay. When Suka is sitting next to a friend to cope, you are not concentrating. But when you are next to me here, yes, you're getting intimidated by Cope. Okay. Let's go to page 11. Gideon?
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, you can see all these definitions. We've expanded on them. You will see, for instance, you can just refer to exclusion notice. We've added, you know, the part which says which, it refers to section 22, but it says which may be issued by an authorized member, VOC commander, or the national commissioner to prevent the attendance of a person or group of persons that, based on historical behavior regarding such person or group of persons, or reliable current information may result in the disruption of an event or cause an injury to a person or damage to property. Likewise, there's no comments. Likewise, existing stadium of any safety certificate, we've also expanded by including the latter part regarding infrastructural safety of an existing stadium or venue. So it's a certificate relating to the infrastructural safety of an existing stadium or venue. Moreover, grading certificate, you will find that it used to end there just after section 7. Now we've added determining the safe spectator capacity of a stadium or venue and the level of risk of the event that may be hosted at a stadium or a venue. Likewise, high risk event safety certificate, we've now stated, you know, you would recall that a risk event safety certificate, this is not a standard certificate. It will differ from event to event. It will have various different conditions. So we stated there means a certificate which may contain specific conditions issued by the National Commissioner in terms of Section 7.3 in respect of an event that has been categorized as an high risk. Just to make it very plain and simple.
You said on the regulation, because we said the ticket must have at the back of the ticket. I don't know whether we've agreed that it should be on the regulation or where, but I could recall now it too. With that, it must be on the ticket, it must show. If Donald Lee has a ticket, it must show that rest is on the inside on gate number 4. And that should be a condition that we place on the ticket there, because the chaos that is going on there of the tickets that only have conditions that you must not do this and this and this, but it doesn't show people what. But we have agreed, Robert Gideon, on that. And then can you remind us on those?
Yeah. Sure, Chairperson. I can refer you. I'm referring to the new document.
The new document.
Chairperson. Honorable members, 43, right at the bottom, you'll find there's a subsection 7, subclause 7. It says, an event ticket must, at a minimum, contain information relating to the venue of the event, comma, nature of the event, comma, the date, day and time of the event, the venue layout plan with block and sector spectator orientation information and conditions of entry to the event.
You made my day, Sylvia.
Chairperson, we can move down. You will see, I'm just referring to where we've actually elaborated on the content of the definitions. We have a new stadium or venue design safety certificate. You will find it there.
On the old document, page 12.
12, yeah. It means the certificate contemplated in section 9 issued with regard to the infrastructural safety of a planned new or stadium or venue. Likewise, under the definition of organize, just the under, we said includes to arrange, be in charge of, or purport to be in charge of, because we need to also include this, because this actually is like you can regard it as an expansion of your definition of an event organizer. You have your definition, but all of a sudden we now say organize. Relative to that definition of event organizer, means as follows. So you are like expanding that definition. So we say where you purport to be in charge of, it can be regarded then that you organize. Organize meaning having a bearing on event organizer specifically. Convene, host, manage, plan, stage, supervise, hold, or event, or hold sponsorship rights to an event. You can see we've included a lot of permutations to cover as far as possible any loophole in that regard, Chairperson. Chairperson, then, honorable members, we've added a new definition. Peace officer means a peace officer as defined in Section 1 of the Criminal Procedure Act, so and so. And because, remember, last time round, we discussed the distinction between a peace officer being an access control officer on the one hand, and then, of course, your security officer. Security officer will do, for instance, the access of vehicles and persons to an event, but the search and seizure would be done by the peace officer. That's it. Just to make it clear.
In terms of the constitutionality, by the policy that has not yet been repealed.
No, Chairperson, to my knowledge, my colleagues can correct me, it has not been repealed. And, so it's for. It's been amended, but not repealed.
Yeah, I'd just like to say, although the original legislation still stands as not being repealed, there has been amendments to it, obviously, to bring it in line with our constitution. That's the criminal procedure.
Yes,
okay.
Chairperson, are we in line to refer to this, what is the false statement? The impression is created that nothing has been done. You refer to this.
Yeah, I think Suka, the reference is correct. In our country, when we were doing the government of national unity and doing this, we didn't walk in and say, therefore, the new government, all other legislation that are existing have been from today nullified. We've done what we call amendment of the laws as and when. We move. So we never take the Mugabe route and say all laws in the country do not exist, they'll only exist in the new parliament. And therefore, this law, the section of this act has been amended, but the thrust of the act, realigning it with the constitution, has been done. Yes, Patrick.
Perhaps what we could do is, and I have seen it in other legislation before, and the state law advisors could advise us, we could perhaps tag on the end of that as amended, perhaps if that would assist the Honourable Member.
And let's hear it. Susan?
Yeah. In as much as I think it doesn't, if you go to that act, you'll find that it is amended. So it doesn't add anything.
Okay.
Yes, Suga. I will not. I understand the explanation, but I'm saying, take a layman person in the street reading this publication. I wouldn't like to be seen as a person who is tinkering apartheid, modifying it into the new constitution that we have and adopted, and the repealing of the laws. So I'm saying, in the manner that was, you remember also the year of 1977. When on the heat of the moment, these things will come in. So I'm saying, I don't feel very comfortable. Though you say, look, what you are raising, I understand the sunset clauses, trying to massage. But surely after the sunset clauses, there's a going forward. There's a debate on the matter that you are raising.
Yeah, but let me tell you, Kusuka, we have not amend existing laws in the country on a blanket basis. We have not done that. We have on a systematic basis. But what stands there is that any other legislation that is in contrary to the constitution will be regarded as not existing. That is what I know is the thrust of the constitution. It means if this legislation, Act number 1977, is in contrast with the Constitution, it means it's going to be regarded as not existing. Can you help us, lawyers? You see, I'm taking like what do you call it, street committee. Street committee. Yes.
No, you are right, Chairperson. In actual fact, this 1977 is the Act that is in force. And there are still also acts that are right back as 1961. We still have those acts. So we haven't done the the consolidation of acts. So we still have, but the acts are made in line with the constitution. So, but they still reflect the yes, that's the way.
Just before we go on recess last year, we amended the Dutch Reformed Church and all those other things. It means for 14 years, we have been amending parts of those where the church cannot discriminate and all that. But for us to be able to amend those legislation that were existing, which are discriminatory on churches, we have just done that amendment recently, and the Bantu Administrative Act and all that. But up until last year, we were having that Bantu Administration Act because we didn't blanketly deal with those kind of things. We have done. It's a very sad story, but it is a story that
any person has to be content with in South Africa. Then the constitution of the country and the experts of Fananento Mbipaya that if the law contravenes the constitution, it will be regarded as not existing because it's in contrast with the constitution. And therefore, it could have been amended, or we'll say it's a problem, so let us go and amend this if it was in contrast to the fundamentals of the constitution. But the Agu Vidya Teta, I got the Tete Kaya Paya Kongo Long. Yes. Good.
If I could just perhaps add something. The lady referred to a law of 1961. We must remember that Verwoerd was killed in 1967 only. In other words, 1961 was still Verwoerd's law too.
Don't cause the problem. I am thought you are helping me to go out of the problem. Now you're stirring the whole problem. Now you're making Suga to be more angry now. Because when you talk about those people, Suga's body can just get comfortable. Hey, man, Donald. Gideon, just one or two sections and then we go.
Chairperson, the next definition is prohibition notice. See, it means a notice contemplated in section 21, and then we've added that prohibits or restricts the admission.
The one that is going to deal with the risk, or it's not?
No. Okay. This is where a serious risk is demonstrated.
Okay.
You will see further on that prohibits or restricts the admission of spectators to a stadium, venue, or route if the admission of spectators involves or may involve a serious risk to any person at an event. This is important also. We discussed this, and we thought, you know, you just say where it actually involves a risk. That means the risk must first materialize, you know, so to speak. So we add it now, or may involve, to be proactive, flexibility, to create more flexibility for the, you know, for the BOC commander, or event planning, safety and planning committee to take a decision in this regard.
Gideon, what have you done with the concern of the members, in particular on this serious risk to persons at the event, where we said cars that are parked, my 4x4, Mercedes Benz, parked right on the road and it's infringing on the free flow of traffic into areas that might be areas that save the lives of the people. Members are in agreement that such car has to be impounded and you sell it, and then that money must be given to a disaster management or to the emergency. And I think I love that piece of session that members want. Because as and when you go there, you pay 100 rand. I have many 100 rand in my pocket. But it must be something that sends a clear message that on areas designated or areas that are saving the lives of the people, definitely something huge has to happen. So I'm trying to stop Suka when I'm there in Port Elizabeth, because he's a boy of coming from Port Elizabeth, here he parks anywhere else. So think about that, but we want a very serious measure there. Yes, Gideon.
Chairperson, I can refer you to, this is now the new highlighted version, page 36. 36. We've included something to that effect in our bulk.
Yes.
It deals with section 16.1. It deals with the functions of the Event Safety and Security Planning Committee, Chairperson. If you have a look at 16.1 in bracket D and then Roman 2. It says now, the Event Safety and Security Planning Committee may determine with regard to a specific event prescribed measures relating to, and then it goes to Roman 2, vehicle access control, including parking measures.
Yes,
Gideon. Okay, Chairperson.
Last one.
So we can go to, we've included a new definition. of a registered person. It means a person defined in Section 1 of the Engineering Profession of South Africa Act, in the name of the Act, and registered under the category of professional engineer or professional engineering technologist, comma, professional.
On the old service of it, did you get it, Tekong? Okay, it's down there, but you can, it's not very clear. The ink there is weak on page right at the bottom. Okay,
a professional certified engineer or professional engineering technician in terms of Section 8 of that Act. This relates, Chairperson, where there's a conflict, a possible conflict of interest situation, where the local authority is also the owner of a stadium or a venue, meaning that how can it now certify its own, issue its own certificate in this regard? Hence, we've included provision now which states that they must, in circumstances where they are the owner of that particular stadium, and there's a point this registered person to, in other words, to issue, to first to evaluate the application and to issue that particular certificate, Chairperson.
Yes, Patrick, you are the last.
Yes, I'm aware of that. Just to make you feel even better, Chairperson, about today's proceeding, is that if you look, if honourable members can turn to page 46
of the
new version, of the highlighted version. This, as you recall, is dealing with spectator and vehicle access control. That we even have, if we look at subsection 11, an access control officer who has reasonable grounds to believe that a motor vehicle found in a traffic-free zone is not accredited to enter that zone or be parked there, whatever, you will see there, if the owner or driver under subsection B, if the owner or driver of the vehicle is not readily available, request a police official or peace officer to remove that motor vehicle from the zone and impound that motor vehicle, and the owner shall bear the cost of such removal and impoundment. Mm. So I think really we've spelled it out there as to what's going to happen when people are parking in traffic-free zones and blocking the roads, etc.
Impounding the vehicle is not enough. That's what I'm talking about. Impounding the vehicle is not enough. Gideon, what happened to Ellis Park was a nightmare. If the police have to go to Bristol headquarters and fly over the helicopter and use a rope to land at Ellis Park and people died like flies there, then we want to be casual when we're dealing with this dispensation, that the Ellis Park disaster must never, ever happen anywhere else. We can't just go and impound the car there. Can't. You impound the car, the owner must lose it.
Regulations.
Yes, Suka. Go and check what can you do there. But I'm serious about that. I'm deadly serious. Polite by nature, but deadly serious. Yes,
Now, I was going to say maybe there should be a qualification on what they are raising in terms of the impoundment. If the fine is too little, I know at the airport, so if you impound it, then you pay a particular fee. But it means you need to be much more serious for cases of eventuality, because that, there is an activity or an event that is taking place where the emergency services must come into play. So I'm saying, I agree with the chaplain. Let's think of a much more serious fine.
Even the DA agrees with me on this one. Definitely.
But not to an extent of repossessing.
No, we don't repossess, we impound and sell. Yes,
what we'll do is in the recess, then we'll create an offense. We'll sit together and create a specific offense with a very heavy penalty for this.
Like we have created that offense where people are saying, but you can't pay 10,000 when my child is dead. Remember the public hearings there, where they were querying the issue of a fine and all that. They're saying, how do you, the 10,000 is not going to bring my child.
Yeah.
So we must, you see this thing of people going for public hearings. And there's no way where probably, in a glimpse of this legislation, you don't even show that people concerned there
were taken into consideration and is a problem. Because people are saying, what do you want from us? When you arrive there, the only thing that you is sacrosanct becomes the constitution. So go back and not do these things. And I don't want to be part of that kind of thing. And I've never been a chair that when we've gone on public hearing, the bill, the entire bill, must speak to what people have said to us outside there. I have not, and I'm not intending, even up until today, to be anything lesser than that. So, by the way, Sidion and others, thanks for coming, Sisi. And then Pori will give you another meeting. When is another meeting, Paul? Tuesday. It's a public hearing, yes. Next week, Tuesday, it will be public hearings, but it will be the last public hearings, yeah? East London, with that communication will go. But when we come back, honorable members, please, I want you to go and arrange with your political parties. We are going to go a little bit of an extra mile. It's not going to be casual. Next week, when we come back, the very same, we're coming back on a Wednesday probably or Thursday. As soon as we land in Cape Town, the following day, we are deep on this bill, just about to finish it. And we will finish it in no time. We're just going to take 2 days extra in the morning up until the afternoon, the following day in the morning up afternoon. Then we go close by close, we vote, we agree, then close, then we take it to the National Assembly, we vote, we debate it, it goes to the NCOP. But we must finish it in no time. In fact, next week, whilst we're going to the public hearings, the following week, there is a greater chance that we'll conclude the bill. So if as LOC has not communicated with you, Khidio, we're going to pass that on. We're not going to agree on it. But thanks very much, honorable members. We have not arranged lunch because we anticipated that we must finish in time and then because there's a question there. So there's no lunch and then there will be lunch another day. Thank you very much. Yes. Thursday and Friday. Thursday and Friday we might deliver them and finish.
To the airport. Let's make capture today's stuff on the spreadsheet, and then we can make these things without creating an offense. We can quickly do it now. What do you say? We don't waste any time. What do you say?
Yeah, I'll find it now. On the way, we'll go.
We're trying to go finish money.